Backseat Box Office, episode number 56 for the weekend of October 14th through the 16th, 2011.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Ader.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers. Oh, he's not dead yet. Great. We need to try harder.
Not quite dead yet. I'm getting better.
Sorry.
All right, so Jonathan is still recovering from Sausage Fest a week and a half later. Adam was talking about potentially going to the Urgicare Center because he's been sick like since Sausage Fest.
Yep.
It's no longer Archon. Because, really, Sausage Fest was the thing.
Yeah.
So, I was just telling Andrew...
Let's face it, there's only one reason to go to Archon anymore.
Oh, and it's...
I'd say two.
It's a good reason.
I'd say Sausage Fest and hanging out with folk.
Yeah, but that happens at Sausage Fest, so...
Well, and Friday night.
Friday night was a different vibe. Because we could, like... It was more relaxed hanging out.
Sorry, I can't talk about Friday night. I have a morality clause in my contract.
That's fair. I won't ask you about it. So, I just got to say, this sounds lame, but one of the highlights of my weekend was the nap I took Saturday evening from like 7:15 to like 9:15. Oh my God, was that a good nap?
Was it you or was it Sam that was trying to wake the dead in your sleep?
You know, okay, so this is how... Let me set the scene for everybody. You know, we'd been up... Some of us had been up all night Friday night. Most of us, I think, had been up most of the night. And we'd spent all day Saturday doing this and that.
I think the most any of us had sleep was about 4 hours. And that's right. And that's being generous.
Yeah.
And so we were getting prepped for Sausage Fest. We'd rearranged our rooms and gotten things, everything together. And it was maybe 7:30, and the party didn't start till 10. And so we decided just to kind of crash. And I laid down on one of the beds, and Sam was there, and Jonathan's there. And I fell asleep listening to Jonathan snore. And then I wake up to Sam snoring. And I know I snore. I mean, honestly, I didn't hear myself, but my wife will sign a written affidavit that I snore like a madman. So it could have been me, could have been Sam. I don't know.
Okay. All I know is that I got about half an hour of that nap, and then whichever one of you it was drove me out of the room. So,
oh, such a good nap.
I wonder if that had anything to do with our noise complaint.
Possibly.
Maybe.
Maybe possibly. Not. So, Andrew, were you there for the noise complaint?
I was not. I had headed back by that point.
Now, did you hear about the noise complaint?
I have not.
Okay, so you were there long enough to realize that the Zombie Squad party had been going, six or seven rooms down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Zombie Squad party the night before, and they have quite a sound system.
Well, they were actually using it on Saturday night, because they were actually using their sub. They were starting to have complaints from all over the hotel because of their sub. Standing in the hallway, I couldn't hear things going on in the Sausage Fest room, and I was immediately outside the Sausage Fest rooms, but I could clearly hear their sub.
Wow.
So we're standing outside, and Jonathan comes up and he goes, "Well, strike one, there's the first strike on the noise complaint." I said, "What? Yeah, we just got a noise complaint." Bullshit. Bullshit. There's no way we get a noise complaint. I don't know, man. We get a noise complaint. So there is no way. So I'm getting all huffy. So I march into the room, and it's like, "The person's in there who's saying we got the noise complaint if you want to go talk to him." So I march back into the room, and I'm looking around, like, looking for someone official.
Right.
As official as the Archon representatives are.
Yeah.
Because they actually try to do a good job of being low-key about their security, and, like, security's around, and if you know who you're looking for, they're there. But they're pretty low key about it for the most part. And so I walked in. It's like, what's going on? And it turns out, were you around the night before when I kept pestering Josh to bring boobs to the party?
I think so.
And so he brought this girl, and she's like, do you remember me from last year? Maybe. She said, I showed you my boobs. I said, okay.
Narrow it
she
down
said,
a little more.
She said, and you gave me beads. I said, well, I definitely remember you then. So, and then she like tries to do this thing with her top, and she's like, I can't do anything tonight. But tomorrow I'll be wearing an outfit, so I'll come back. I said, okay. So I was wearing beads at the time, and I gave her beads on Friday night. I said, this is a down payment. So turns out there was no noise complaint. That was the way that they got me back into the room quickly.
They were setting you up.
They set me up. And she got her final payment, so to speak.
Oh, I gotta say, by the time I left, you had retired your pimp chalice for at least a little bit because, man, you were feeling good.
Art makes some fantastic drinks.
Art working with Art was also one of the highlights of my weekend.
He made what was the name of that drink? It was the
Iron Spider.
No. It was like I can't even remember now. Some literary reference. Anyway, fantastic drink. It was, I think it's basically a Black Russian with Baileys.
No, I think you are thinking with the Iron Spider, because the Iron Spider
Iron
is
Butterfly.
A White Russian.
The Iron Butterfly. It's used,
yeah, it's a White Russian, but use Baileys instead of, cream or half and half or whatever.
Right. Yep. Yeah, that was great. Part of the problem was, though, is that it left, like, this frothy film on my cup. Like, I don't feel like cleaning my chalice right now to drink more out of it. Just give me something else.
Yeah, dude, Art was great. He really rocked it out, bartending for us.
Yep. But, alas, we are not here to talk of Sausage Fest again, except that Sausage Fest West happened last weekend.
That's right.
And I have it under authority that Sausage Fest West raised $220.
Woo!
So nice. It just adds to the pool.
I also hear a certain Rich is 1 year older.
Truth. That is absolute fact.
That actually did happen.
What? So you know, we took last week off.
Ooh, there was good reason.
I mean, from everything, I didn't do a column. Tony didn't do a result show. None of us did a real show. It was actually kind of awesome.
Didn't release an episode of Backseat Producers, even though we had two recorded by that point. didn't release one last week.
So it was kind of a bloodbath, but we're back. I think we did a little bit better this week.
Little bit, yeah, yeah.
And by a little bit, we mean a lot.
A complete turnaround.
I had a 13-point swing.
Yeah, I actually didn't have that much of a change.
No, but you were one of the few people who did well last week.
That is true.
I think I had a 15-point swing.
Something like that.
Last week?
Yeah, you had a 9.
Oh, booyah. I don't know. I felt like that was a moment for a
booyah.
Yeah,
it was a booyah
moment.
I
thought.
I feel like I should be slow clapping you right now, but I won't.
You know.
So Tony.
Yeah.
No,
so
wait, Jonathan.
Before I get into that, the week before the weekend ending September 25th. The average score was 20.1875. The average score among everyone who played. Last weekend, not this past weekend, but the Sausage Fest Archon weekend, the Oof. Average score was 10.
Oof.
10.
It's brutal.
This weekend, the average score was 23. So
I would propose that from now on and for all time, we refer to last weekend as the bloodletting.
Oh, man. It was rough.
That assumes that there won't be another weekend like that.
I just figured we'd escalate the names as it goes on.
Yeah.
So I'm starting
with
had
Electric Boogaloo.
Back to back, we had the best weekend, the worst weekend, and then an even better weekend than the best weekend.
That doesn't bode well for next week.
No.
You
must have seen what's coming out this week.
Hey, Courageous isn't coming out. That's
It's what really helped last week, this past week, I think, was the fact that there was one movie that would clearly dominate, and everyone, and I mean everyone, picked that movie to be number one. So we were all living and dying on Real Steel.
And Real Steel came in number one.
It was
3 million.
If I can say, over the top.
It was almost like a Rock'em Sock'em experience.
Have you ever seen Over the Top?
Yeah.
Yeah. The trailer looked like Over the Top. Jeff Bailey in his email. Number one, Over the Top 2.0. Real Steel.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots 2011. I mean, Real Steel.
Yep.
That's right. Like, they didn't pay for the rights, so they couldn't use Rock'em Sock'em.
Hey, look, you have two square-headed robots, one red, one blue.
Hey, this movie is based on a short story, not Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
A short story, which is based upon Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
I just saw that book in the store today.
Really?
Which book is it? Because I'm not familiar with it.
It's called, I don't remember. It's called, it's called Steel, I think is what it is.
I read a book called Steel.
It's a short
and that's
story
different.
Collection.
Okay,
and you're not thinking about the Superman Steel graphic novel.
Not thinking about the Steel. No.
Okay, because Paul would probably refer to. Well, never mind what Paul would do. Anyway, number two. So Real Steel, number one. Number two, Ides of March, 10.4 million, making Jonathan real happy with the political drama.
Yeah.
Number three, we had The Dolphin Tale continuing to do well with 9.1 million, only down a third from the previous week. Number four, we had Moneyball, 7.4 million, also only down a little over a third, actually gained 25 theaters. Number five, we had 50-50 from Summit with 5.6 million, also basically down a third. And then I just like to point out Courageous, number six. It brought in $4.8 million. And, hey, did you guys realize that budget on that movie was exactly $2 million?
Yep.
And it so far made 16.1?
Jesus.
That's, 800% profit, something like that?
Yep.
I want to point out...
700% profit, if you do math.
Thinking about this the last couple of weeks, I want to point out that I don't have an issue with Courageous because it's a faith-based movie or, it's cops or Yay God or anything like that. I just want to point out, I don't like it because it looks terrible.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that it was going to be kind of a preachy movie until I had already made the judgment that, man, this looks like a really, really bad pilot for a really, really bad conglomeration of, 10 different television shows that are on the air right now. It's like Men of a Certain Age crossed with Blue Bloods, crossed with, I don't know, Desperate Housewives. This thing looks like it's a mess.
Yeah.
Oh, well, and it's preaching to me.
Let me throw this out there. Because I was not on the episode when we talked about this before it came out. I kind of have two thoughts about this movie. On the other hand, it certainly is a preachy movie. I don't think you should go into it not expecting to be preachy. On the other hand, as a guy with low self-esteem, they're like, I feel like I should be a better father. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like I should be a better father too. And so I'm like, I identify with that. And, because, Jesus. And I don't know if
he plays a part too.
I don't know if this... Yeah, thank you. As he should. I don't know if Tony feels differently about this, but I worry all the time about what I'm doing to my son. I do my best, but
oh,
what
yeah.
do I know?
Well, yeah, I mean, you do what you can.
Right.
It just feels like there are better ways to have handled subject matter like that than at least what that trailer put forward. It was
sure.
Just like, oh, wow.
And you had a good point about that.
There were certain sequences where they're talking and it's like, is this a table read? Because you really don't seem to be putting anything behind this.
Well, again, it's a $2 million movie.
But, yeah, I mean, and like I said, I just want to throw that out there.
No, and you made a good point, Jonathan, that last, whenever you guys talked about this, that you know, you can make a movie going in and say, let's make a preachy movie, or they could go on, we're going to make a great movie, which will also have these elements that we're going to talk about, you know, being a better father and all that stuff. That was a good point you made, but
well, and there's ways to make faith-based movies that that aren't as preachy.
Well, I mean, and again,
to be fair, even a movie like Dogma is faith-based. It's steeped it's fairly steeped in
it's steeped in the trappings of Catholicism and religion. Yes,
sure.
I don't know if I would say it's a faith-based movie.
It's about a crisis of faith.
Sure.
It's about a crisis of faith, and in the end, it's actually fairly... I mean, you take out the exploding people and the poop monsters, and you have a fairly positive portrayal of religion and, you know... I mean, there's some ridiculous crap in there, like Buddy Christ, but...
I don't know. Yeah, sure. I don't know if you can look at George Carlin's character in the Buddy Christ Initiative and come away with a positive feeling. A guy who blesses his driver.
But I mean, let's face facts. I would rather have a church that tries Buddy Christ and blessing drivers than some of the things that the church has been involved with. You know, I mean,
sure.
As married to a recovering Catholic, I guess you could call it. I mean,
well, let me put a disclaimer on. I am not a Catholic, but
I am. I was raised Catholic, so
my wife's whole family is Catholic. Half of my family is Catholic. Like my extended family, my father's side is all Catholic. So it's like there's some stuff there, and it's like church is has some issues, and I'd rather see Buddy Christ come out of it than, you know, some of the things they're accused of.
Sure,
but. You know what we're talking about? We're talking about a movie that came out 2 weeks ago and probably isn't going to be in the top five this week. So,
It wasn't in the top five this past weekend either.
Yeah, I know. So,
though a lot of people thought it was going to be. There were a lot of people that
were.
Yeah, a lot of people. That was what kept you from getting a 25.
That is what kept me from getting a 25. That is the only thing. I gave Courageous too little faith the week before, too much this week. It's balanced out, and now I don't have to deal with it.
You are Goldie Holmberg.
And Tony, how'd you do?
I did fairly well. I like to think I did fairly well. I actually got a 21, which was better than the previous weekend. So we all improved over last weekend. 17 last weekend to a 21 this weekend. That was a moderate increase by comparison.
To say 9 to 24.
Yeah.
Or 7 to 20.
Yeah, so my picks last weekend, I had Real Steel at number 1, Ides of March at number 2, which were both right. My problem was that I underestimated Dolphin Tale and threw it down at number 5. If I would have kept it at number 3 and shifted my other two down, I would have gotten 25. That's where I screwed up.
I picked up to 20. My main problem was I discounted Ides of March. I threw it down at number 4, which threw everything off. Because I had Dolphin Tale at number 2, so that was a point. I had Moneyball at number 3, well, there's a point. I had Ides of March at number 4, and there's 2 points. And I had Courageous at number 5, which put me off another point for a total of minus 5.
20. You got a 20 this week. And
yeah.
That was the lowest score. Which
you're welcome. You're welcome for setting the bottom.
That's
the foundation that this podcast is built upon.
You would have had that last weekend...
Oh, well, yeah.
Wow.
Rocking. Yeah.
I mean, you would have been... You would have had Memorial the second team. High. You would have had the second highest score last weekend.
But no, with it's a 20. This week, so I am the lowest.
Yep.
I really like how you point that out, too. Thanks,
not
man.
A problem. Hey, did you know that we actually popped 25 for the second season, the first time?
In a big way.
Four people got it. BD, mm-hmm. Jeff, Tad, and William. To be fair, William in the comments was like, yeah, I think I'm just going to go with what BD said. That looks good. So
yeah, he didn't take the time to actually even type it out himself.
No.
He just looked at BDs and typed in his own, yeah, but no.
Hey, how many weeks did we go ditto? I mean.
Yeah.
Never.
Never. Why?
I never said the word ditto. I have taken your picks before. I've never said the word ditto.
I believe I did say ditto.
I think I use the word same when I do it.
Well, we all know it's hard to get you to say anything in a brief amount of time.
Listen.
Considering the options, I think that your list looks very conducive to the way that I want to form my list, and thus I will choose to lay out the movies that I am going to pick this week in the same manner that you have done, and thus copy what you have provided me.
Well, Jonathan, I guess that's the most intelligent I've ever heard you sound on this podcast. Well done. What way to up your game?
I am an English major.
Indeed, in philosophy.
And if you want some bullshit, just come to me.
If you want to rub that soft sack.
Honestly, I'm looking at my English capstone, and the project that I was doing is starting to fall apart, and I may just fake most of it.
That sounds like a philosopher. I say go for it.
Who the hell is going to check up on whether I actually did this work?
Probably no one.
So, yeah. But anyway, that's neither here nor there, and that might violate a clause in my contract. So,
I got to tell you, when I was editing your guys' episode right before Archon, I wanted to add myself in about 8 other times. I just didn't have time. Like, you're like, well, you know, if it's at the bar in the hotel, I want to add myself going, it is! You can Irish that coffee right up. Pro tip! But I didn't.
My wife was extremely disappointed that I didn't go to that caffee clutch.
I was too, man.
You were at Luke's game just like I was. You and I had our own personal caffee clutch.
That's fair.
That's true.
I hadn't thought about it like that, yeah.
In our bizarro college mutant world.
Yeah, that got weird.
It got really incestuous.
What are you talking about?
James, yeah, I've got this girlfriend, and I'm her tutor. What?
I think I missed this.
The Smallville.
Oh
rules.
Yeah, I wasn't at the Smallville.
Oh game. Yeah, it was. Yeah, that was weird.
You were there for a little bit.
Well, no, I was there for a little bit. I sat around listening to you guys, because you guys had a full table. So yeah, they made characters for a little bit, then wandered off.
Yeah, so did we.
Anyway,
yeah, how was character creation?
We created some characters,
and then did nothing with them.
Well, I hear Luke's voice giving
Tank Choppa.
That was the Dean.
The name of my character was Tank Choppa. He had a brother named Rock.
Did James ever come up with an A for his character?
He did, but I don't recall what it was at this point.
Butch Latowski?
Something like that, yeah. All right, so what else? I suppose we should talk about what movies are coming out. The two remakes and the other one. Though, wait a minute. One's not a remake. It's a prequel.
I'll talk about The Thing. Yeah, as Tony said, The Thing is a prequel to the classic movie, The Thing, and set to be the initial team sent out there right before the beginning of the original movie. So you kind of see what leads up to what they found when they flew out to investigate why this team had gotten lost. Now, if that wasn't a circuitous enough logic for you, I don't know what else I can do for you. Because that's about all I got about it. Yeah. it's probably the best looking movie of the weekend to me.
Really?
Because I love the original thing. This is not going to meet the level of the original thing, but you know, it's not 1982 either anymore, so I will enjoy it just for nostalgia, if nothing else. Whereas this next movie that Tony's going to say about Footloose, that thing looks like a big old turd.
You know what? I honestly think the new Footloose movie looks like it could be pretty good.
No.
Initially, I wanted to reject this movie just out of hand. And I do think they made a couple of potentially fatal mistakes with it. Like, why didn't they pay any amount of money to get Kevin Bacon back as the role that John Lithgow played in the original? Because, holy shit, wouldn't that be hilarious to have him be the preacher?
No, that'd be fantastic.
He's a perfect age for it. I think his acting chops have more than proved that he could pull it off. And I would just love to see him start the summer as Sebastian Shaw and end as the preacher from Footloose. Come on.
That would have been great. The thing I don't get from watching the trailer, it seems like there are scene by scene remakes.
It looks like a scene for, like, mostly a scene for scene remake.
I saw,
but they've shown in the trailer the sequence that causes everybody to freak out.
Sure, they show the car accident.
The car accident, which they kind of allude to, but they don't show it in the first one.
Sure. Probably wasn't in the budget, but I don't care that much to see a car. I've seen car accidents.
And you know what? To be honest, Julianne Hough, or however she pronounces her last name, so freaking hot, so much freaking hotter than Laurie Singer, I think her name was, ever was. That chick had a little bit of a, really? Why is he going for her? She's really not that hot. This chick, oh God. She is a hot preacher's daughter.
I'm just saying, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not almost a scene-by-scene remake. But if you're going to remake Footloose, why don't you just actually remake it instead of just recasting the same scenes in same lines with different actors and actresses? Do something original.
It's MTV.
If you're going to do something original, why remake something?
Well, you know, I've seen some good reboots, you know, over the years.
That's not a remake.
That's fair.
Just saying.
To be honest, look at the remake of Psycho that Gus Van Sant did. It's actually pretty good. I mean, no, it's not going to be the original. It doesn't have the same gravitas. It doesn't have the same creepiness, but it has a different kind of creepiness because Vince Vaughn really brings a different kind of creepy than Tony Perkins did.
I know. You watch Dodgeball, that guy's creepy as get up.
A lot of ball handling. Both movies. Both movies. That's what I'm talking about.
I watched a review by Catherine Reitman, I think is her first name. And she did say that, yeah, it's basically a scene-by-scene remake. They just go right in lockstep with the original movie. But she said she really enjoyed it. It, for the most part, worked. Whether that's worth anything, I don't know. But
well, you know, based on your feedback, I will adjust my statement to say instead of remaking it, they should have rebooted the movie and done something, you know, keep the same, you know, overall theme and plot line, but, you know, make it your own. Because I'd rather just go watch the original.
Yeah, but that requires work.
What, DVD? I mean rebooting. I see.
Thought and consideration of where you want the plot to go
extra person you have to hire.
Yeah.
A writer?
I mean,
come on.
I mean those people are expensive. Photocopy the original script. I mean,
yeah.
Photocopying's always cheaper. Kinko's, they take care of that stuff.
They'll even bind it for you.
True. And you can have multiple copies. Laminated.
Well, that brings us to our final movie, which I have mixed feelings about it, but it's called The Big Year. It stars Owen Wilson, Jack Black, and Steve Martin.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's based on a bird watching book.
What?
It's a movie.
It's set in 1998 when El Nino that year brought a record number of bird species to North America. Three bird watchers fight over a coveted spot which could help set a bird watching record.
That's what it's about.
Indeed it is.
I have not gotten one bit of that from the trailer. It looks like the bucket list.
I mean, from the trailers, you do pick up that they're competing with each other, right?
No.
Oh,
I didn't even get that.
I got that from the trailer.
To be fair, I didn't watch the full trailer. I'm looking at this just from commercials. But the commercials make it look like something like the bucket list. It's
well, they all have things going on in their life. Like Steve Martin retires. You know, he's apparently a big, powerful guy, and he retires and suffers that familiar syndrome where he's like, he's lost. He's at loose ends. He's depressed. He's got nothing to do in the morning. So he goes off to do it. Jack Black is apparently a complete loser who can't keep a job and for whatever reason decides that he's going to go do this. And then I'm less sure the Owen Wilson storyline, why he's out doing it.
He's having a midlife crisis.
That's what happened.
One is experiencing a midlife crisis, another a late life crisis, and the third a far from ordinary no-life crisis. And considering the three actors that are playing these roles, it's pretty obvious how you can put them in.
Yeah, no kidding.
Faces.
Yep. Well, you know, on the
Jack Black isn't typecast at all.
Not at all.
No.
School of Rock, what? Huh? I will say one thing I enjoyed. That one of the trailers I pulled down, I had a little bit before the trailer started where it's Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson standing there together. And Steve Martin said, "Hey, come see our great new movie, yada, 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 featuring the fantastic Jack Black and indomitable Luke Wilson." Owen Wilson's like, Owen, I'm sorry, Luke Owen. Steve Martin, oh, that guy's so good.
Yeah. That is a very Steve Martin bit. So, did you actually see the... did you look at HSX at all on the big year?
I'm looking at it right now.
Look at that chart.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I saw that.
That is pretty telling. So, this movie has apparently been around a little while.
It looks like.
At least on the charts. It looks like from, probably January through May, it was floating at, looks like, low to mid-50s. The share price, I can't all of a sudden speak. Stroke. I don't know what's going on.
Take an aspirin, quick.
So... The per share price was floating in the mid to low 50s, and it dropped just below 50 from May through August, and then over the course of, it looks like the last month, it has just tanked and has dropped all the way down to a high this week of 30 and a low of 24, and it looks like it is just on this very steep downward spiral.
To be fair, to describe it a little bit more accurately, I think, it looks like a double black diamond slope.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, to be even more fair, have you seen the chart for The Thing?
Let me click over.
No.
I have not looked.
Oh, I'm sure that one's even more interesting. I'm still looking at the big year because apparently when I change pages... I get really... It does bad things to Skype. It looks kind of like a side view of the Atlantic Ocean leading into the Marianas Trench. It just... it goes and goes, and everything's kind of level. It's a little bumpy, and then all of a sudden, it was like, holy shit, there is no bottom.
Do you see the craft from the abyss down there?
Probably. It's probably the next tick over. In the next 2 days, that craft is going to be looking up.
Yeah, so looking at what Jonathan's looking at, The Thing, there's been a lot more up and down on this. There's been leading up over the last, 10 months, and there's a big spike right around August, and then there's another giant slope down between, say, August and mid-September.
Oh my god. Wow.
And then it's kind of, you know, popped. There's been a couple little spikes after that, but there's a giant month and a half drop.
You know what this looks like? This looks like a side cut of Sauron's tower leading up to Mount Doom. Like Mount Doom is at the beginning, and then there's like this really big crevasse where, you know, that's where Frodo's got to throw the ring into, and then it kind of goes, and then it slopes down to the bottom, and then there's this tower, and at the top there's like even like that flame thing where the eye is hanging out.
And for those who haven't watched or listened to BSB 200, go listen to BSB 200. It is fantastic.
On Monday when it gets released.
That's right. Monday.
It's not out yet.
Sorry, nope. The podcast 161.
Yeah, there you go.
No, shh.
Don't take away more of our listeners. All right.
And then, of course, Footloose. You see, this is what's wrong with Orm. Look at the chart for Footloose. Are you guys over to Footloose?
Yeah, what this shows me is that people had pretty low expectations of it.
And then
things started coming out. Those spikes are probably about when trailers came out. It's like, wait, that chick's hot. This might be good. And then that lull there was, oh, that guy's in it. He's kind of looks like a weenie. Oh, wait,
you know,
but she's still hot. Oh, no. He's still a weenie. And then that last spike is, she's doing interviews for the movie now.
And he's not.
And he's not, so it's good.
Well, I'm just saying, if I have any faith in humanity, this movie will do horribly at the box office, which means I should probably put it at number one. Or two.
Yeah.
Wow, that's... I'm not going to talk about that strategy right now.
Well, I'm going last, so I'm going
to
get...
You need to, Mr. 24.
Oh, is it time?
It's time.
Well, let me talk about that strategy, because, man, I was thinking, this movie looks terrible, and I think it should fail miserably. So, Footloose is my number one pick this week.
Are you sure about that?
Hey, you know what? Mine, too.
I don't know. Can it beat Real Steel?
You figure if Real Steel drops 50%, which I think is... reasonable.
Well, it's possible.
That puts it to about 15 million. Footloose could pull that.
It could.
It's, I mean, 3,300 theaters.
It's not a sure bet.
It's not, is anything.
Whatever is.
I just don't get Dylan dogged on Footloose.
I don't think we're going to get Dylan dogged on
I don't think that's
going to
happen.
I didn't think I was going to get Dylan dogged on What's Your Number either, but I did.
Yeah. You kind of did.
Yeah.
I don't care. Footloose,
okay.
Number one.
All right. Big ball in it.
Real Steel, I put it at number two. The Thing at number three. Horror movies just haven't been doing that well this year.
You're right.
I don't know what that is. Maybe this is the movie that turns that around, but...
As much as I like the look of this movie, it's probably not going to turn anything.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So, I mean, a remake of a teen drama, that could do well. Because you may want to put in Footloose and watch it. Your teenage kid, not going to want to put in Footloose and watch it. Because they're going to be like, this is old. So it'll resonate with people that aren't us.
Old. Yeah.
They aren't
people.
Yeah, they aren't holding on for a hero.
Yeah, people our age may watch it for nostalgia. Teenagers will watch it because they don't know who Kevin Bacon is.
I will watch it to watch Kevin Bacon's hot moves. Screw Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with Kevin Bacon.
Has Kevin Bacon been on Dancing with the Stars?
Nobody should. Wait
a
minute.
Why not?
It's probably cheating.
He's too big of a star.
He's too good of a dancer.
Yeah.
Look, Nancy Grace's nipple has been on there. What else can you do?
And Nancy Grace's fart.
Shut that down. I mean, it all down.
You wouldn't have found that clip, didn't you, Jonathan?
I might have looked it up.
What is wrong with you?
I didn't see the clip. I was just like, that can't be right. That can't have happened. Oh, God, it actually happened.
It happened.
It's like when somebody says, hey, look, there's a dead deer in the road. You don't actually want to see the dead deer in the road, but you immediately like turn and look. Oh shit! It's actually a dead deer.
Or
I didn't really want to see that.
Or when you're at a party and at Adam Molina's house, and Rob Justice is standing right behind you, and everybody is turning away in disgust. You know his balls are right on your shoulder.
Yeah.
You don't feel anything touching them, but you know they're right there.
And there's that compulsion to be like, what's going... And it's hard to fight that.
It's
hard to fight that.
I did fight that compulsion.
That's why I recommended in that episode to everyone, brainbleach.com.
That was eye bleach.
Brain bleach.
Brain bleach? Okay.
Brain bleach.
Google image search Jennifer Connelly nude.
Anything.
Mature filter off.
So the thing, number three.
Might be eye bleach.
I think that's what you said in the episode, but I don't know what...
Brain bleach doesn't work right now. So anyway, so number one, Footloose. Number two, Real Steel. Number three, The Thing. And then this is where it all falls apart. Number four, I'm going to risk it and put The Big Year. Just because The Ides of March only pulled 10 million. And you figure it's going to drop, and a movie with Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Luke Owen. Really, really ought to do well. I don't know whether it will, but it ought to. So, The Big Year at number four, and then The Ides of March at number five.
I wish I had my webcam hooked up so I could show you guys my piece of paper.
Yeah, stop lying. No, stop.
My
lying.
Piece of paper. The scribbling and such that I did on it.
That's a lie.
Those are my picks exactly.
Just go ahead and say the one word you want to say.
Everybody gotta cut loose.
That's more than one word.
Everybody gotta cut. More than one word.
You gotta cut. Number one, Footloose. Number two, Real Steel. Number three, The Thing. Number four, Big Year. Number five, Ides of March.
I was going.
I had that movie. Shit written down.
Sure you did. I was talking.
True fact written down right here.
I wrote them down too. As Jonathan said those words, I wrote them down under his name.
What did you write down under your name, Andrew?
You know what you can write under my name? Ditto.
Ditto. There we go. That's what I was looking for.
Or double quotes on each of them. Either way.
I'm going to be more cautious than you people.
That's gutsy. Or not. I don't know.
I think cowardice might be the better term for it.
You're not going to go for the... Look, we could have another 75.
This isn't the summer, Jonathan.
In Oscar season.
Stop your dreaming.
Can you imagine what it would do if we got a 75?
What have you been drinking? Or smoking.
In the winter season.
Or inhaling.
Hang on one
or
second.
Or ingesting.
Lots of cough syrup.
Well, that would explain it.
Yeah. Is somebody downloading something?
Freaky quite a bit.
Yeah. Oh. It's a thing.
Yeah.
And it's definitely...
Let me check and make sure there's...
Yeah, because I'm over here scrambling, looking at cell phones.
So, well, let's finish up. We're almost done.
Do you still have...
I can't be a part of this. I have a morality clause in my contract.
That is fair, sir, and I respect that.
That's why we have to edit it out. That's why we have to edit that out. This section has been redacted due to our morality clauses.
All right, so number one, I'm going to play it safe. I don't think it'll burn me too badly, but you never know. Number one, I'm putting Real Steel. Number two, I gotta cut loose. Foot loose. Kick off those Sunday shoes. It looks awful, but like I said before, it'll probably do fine. at the box office, because humanity no good.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's
yeah. Bet against humanity.
Number one.
Yeah.
Why do you think I did that?
Well, and I'm not saying you're wrong to pick it at number one either. I'm just gonna play it a little bit safe, just in case. Just in case it crashes and burns.
You know what? If I get a zero because humanity turns around and says yes, no, we reject this,
I'll take that bullet.
I am okay.
I will take that. I will take that bullet.
This is one of those times when it will be worth it.
I hear you.
However, I don't think that's going to happen. So,
So that leaves me with The Thing, The Big Year, and Ides of March, basically. I'm worried that my fanboy love of the 1982, the original The Thing, is blinding me to how the prequel of the 2011 The Thing is going to do at the box office. So I really want to put it number three, and you two put it number three. So yeah, I'm going to go for it. I'll put it number three. I was worried that's too high, but we'll all go down together on that one if it bombs. So that leaves me to The Big Year and Ides of March. I'm going to put Ides of March at number four, and I'll put The Big Year at number five.
Here's something interesting that I just looked up, now that we've all gotten our picks in, and it really doesn't matter.
Thanks, Tony.
The Thing.
Richard Matheson, by the way. That's the dude who wrote Steel.
That's the same dude that wrote I Am Legend.
Yep.
All right. The Thing, which came out in 1982, domestic total gross, $19.6
million. Oh! For its entire run.
For its entire run, domestic gross.
$1982. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay, Footloose, 1984, only 2 years later.
Did a lot better.
Domestic gross, $80 million.
Yeah.
Look, that's 2 years of Reaganomics. I mean, that's a major adjustment you got to make.
Not that many people remember The Thing from 1982.
Better.
When compared to Footloose.
Awesome. Yep.
Kick off your Sunday shoes.
I've never seen either.
Let's hear it for the boy.
Somebody play us out already.
Oh. We should just play the outro to Backseat Quickies. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah.
It's Scott saying Backseat Quickies and a number of other better podcasts can be found at backseatproducers.com.
I don't think we're living up to his promise right
now.
Nope.
Nope.
Let's just throw that out there. Oh, and for what it's worth, I don't know if it's coming through that my voice is kind of messed up.
No, you sound pretty good.
A little. You're a little rough.
Yeah, just last... Last week when I with the call-in show, which sorry for that, Father Beast. I know you didn't like it, but anyway, I wasn't faking the whole sick thing. Just to be clear, because I don't think they got on mics.
And so. You know what? I wasn't faking the whole. My score was
triple
better.
Score.
Yeah, my score was better than your two scores combined. Thing I wasn't faking that either.
You are
just
not.
To be fair.
You are not. Hey, Jonathan, have you listened to the last few episodes I've edited? The end of them?
The end of them?
Yeah.
Apparently I need to go back through.
Oh, okay. Just checking. See you later. Bye. Good night, everybody! I'm trying to catch up my sleep for Sausage Fest next year.
Oh my god. I think I'm finally caught up on sleep.
For Sausage Fest next year or for Friday night next year?
Both. Why is it gotta be one or the other, Jonathan? Either?
Either.